Just looking for a scripture that I feel like the Lord just kind of laid on my heart. It just feels like there's a bit of a theme this morning. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, I haven't given this to the AV, but 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And Paul's actually talking about himself, that he's frail, and yet his frailty demonstrates the power of God. That God intentionally uses frail vessels to magnify his glory. And it definitely feels like there's a bit of that happening this morning, but also the Lord wanting to just encourage us in that his grace in us is actually the testimony of Jesus. Just when we were in Benoni, Koliswa shared her testimony, and it was very, very cool because it was the first time she'd actually shared her testimony in a public context. And I don't know, whose shoes am I tripping over here? It was amazing just because her testimony really broke something open in that congregation. It really did. It was like there's the word and the Bible and the scriptures, and then there's the testimony of, okay, this was my life and this is what Jesus did. And there's just something so powerful that testimonies do that's different. It's unique to a sermon. Sermons are good because they illustrate the truth of Scripture, but testimonies are, okay, but this is what God has done. This is demonstrating that this Scripture that we're reading, but this is the God who's still doing these things. And it was just so incredibly powerful and moving. But I know that she was terrified when I called her up. She was like shaking, you know, and we prayed for her. And then she shared, and the grace of Jesus just flowed so beautifully through her. And oftentimes when we are at our weakest and we feel like we have the least to give, Jesus does it on purpose to show that this power is from God and not from us. And usually when we're overconfident and we're very sure of ourselves, that's when the grace of God flows the least through our lives. And so, yeah, I really feel like many of us, the Lord wants to just encourage us this morning and say, yeah, you're weak. And my grace is perfect. My grace is sufficient. I still want to use you. Through your testimony, I still want to use you for my glory. I think it was Corinne was messaging me this week about, like, you read the Old Testament and you read some of the stories of these characters and the things that they do. You're like, good grief. Should this even be in the Bible? This is very hectic. Like, this is dodge. Like, this is messed up. I mean, you read the Old Testament, some of the stories, you're like, dude, they don't mention that stuff in church, you know? Like, seriously, because some hectic stories in there. I don't even want to repeat them now. I mean, it's in the Scripture, so we can, but like, it's not about shock factor. But the question is, like, oh, why? I mean, why didn't they edit that stuff out? You know, it's supposed to be for a family. It's a family show, you know, like it's a, do we need an age restriction now when we read the Bible? And I believe it's Jesus intentionally puts those stories in there because he wants you to know they were just like you. Those people were just like you and me. They were messed up just like you and me. They needed the grace of God as badly as we do. And if you just get these glossed, airbrushed stories of people's perfect lives, could be encouraging, but not from the sense of, like, I really identify with this person, but actually the story of God is he takes our broken, messed up lives and he comes in by his power and he restores us and he makes us new. And that is the testimony of the goodness of God that brings faith to others. Amen? So there's a couple of people going to be sharing testimonies. As I said, they're not necessarily going to be these long, profound mini-sermons, so don't expect that. Most of the people are pretty terrified about even sharing in public, as most of us are when you grab the mic. But I do think that the Lord wants to break something open in us, even through their weakness, even through their frailties. Is that cool? So will you receive them as that? And just like a lot of the testimonies, I actually want them to be short because there's a few of them. So there'll probably be 2 or 3 minutes each, not many sermons. But I feel like through the diversity of testimonies, the Lord's going to minister to different parts of us. And I want to encourage you, as you hear those testimonies, don't hear it like, oh, well, I'm so happy for you. You know, I'm so happy for you. But like, I mean, if you knew what was going on in my life, like, I'm happy for you. But, you know, like, I'm in a whole different. That's not the point of testimonies. Point of testimonies is that, number one, we celebrate with one another. Didn't you love that video that Mornay shared last Sunday of that athlete in the pool? And as that South African athlete got to the end, all the South Africans in the crowd were like, yeah! Because it's like, we win. When you win, we win. And so that celebrate like that. When each person shares their testimony, don't just be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm so happy for you. It's like, no, I'm so happy for us. Because your victory is our victory. Amen? And also, it stirs faith in us, man. It's like, okay, but you worship the same God I do. And so what God has done for you, he can also do for me. So it doesn't have to be a jealousy thing of like, oh, I wish God would come through for me like that. It's like, well, say it differently. Like, oh, God can. God can come through for me like he came through for you. Amen. The tricky part is who to go first and second and third. I would love Rachel to go first. Where are you, Rachel? Rachel is the daughter of not one but two pastors. So if this turns into a sermon, just be gracious. Amen. I'm just teasing.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel. I'm part of Dana and Simon's comp, just for context. I started my journey fairly recently, but I realized Jesus has actually been there this whole time. I grew up in the Anglican Church, as Luke said, two pastors' kids. Two pastors, as you know what I mean. But wholeheartedly renounced religion and walked away fully when I left home at 18. Cue almost a decade of rebellion and doing everything possible to distance myself from my parents and anything godly, like everything possible. But then cut to the beginning of last year, and Nathan Graham over there, family friend from the Eastern Cape, he started asking me to come to his comm. Honestly, I laughed in his face. I was like, you don't know me. You don't know my story. I started questioning our friendship because no. I told him to leave me alone. But after months of just very gently, slowly asking me, eventually he got me with a games night to meet his friends. And that was with Drian and Mimi at their comm. So I started coming to comm, but super on the outside, keeping myself very much apart. Absolutely no way I was coming to church. A few months of being an on and off permanent visitor, I wasn't even ready to be on the WhatsApp group. I was invited to join them for their away weekend at the beginning of November, which was such a beautiful time. These incredible people just doing life together, filled with such love, such compassion, honesty, and realness. And that weekend, I came to church. Mentally, I was always on the defensive with a very clear image of in my mind of what church should be and has been, and not really willing to shift or expand. So everything was way too different, and it's much easier then to pull away because it's too uncomfortable. It's a lot easier to distance myself because being vulnerable is really scary. I was aggressively wary and quite skittish. Not like offended by everything. So this church, bruh, was terrifying. It was loud and passionate, and there was dancing and chair pumping and thanks, everyone, wherever you are, and conga lines and speaking in tongues and prophetic words, but lots of internal reflection and goodness and vulnerability and loving and laughter and light and grace and So it's been about 9 months of church now and being on a comm WhatsApp group. I never really felt like a moment of shift, like, oh my gosh, I've been saved. Like, it was never that for me, which I think was probably good because it might have scared me away. It's been a beautifully slow, like a defrosting of my soul. But I've discovered the joy and the freedom I felt in opening up my mind and my heart to what church and community can be. I obviously still have lots of questions all the time, but now I'm open to the answers. Sometimes I need a moment to breathe, like a lot happening around me, but that's okay. But it does feel like I've been crawling for years, and finally I'm able to walk, even run a little bit, with some stumbling and wobbles, but the amazing support and encouragement of family to get back up. No judgment, just love. I've been quite a real tough one to crack, and I only cracked because of the deep love of long-term friendship and stubbornness over many, many months. But I will just keep showing up and hopefully can continue to build a solid friendship with the love of Jesus behind me. I've even started inviting people to church because I'm just so excited to share what I found. Keen to see where I'll be in another 9 months' time.
Maybe we can we pray for her? Let's just stretch out our hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for a precious life that you have saved, Lord. Where would she be if you hadn't rescued her and lovingly, patiently drawn her in to your family, Lord? And we want to say thank you. Thank you for a life that you have saved and are saving. And we want to pray, Lord, would you continue to keep her? Would you continue to strengthen her and guide her? And yeah, every footstep that she takes, would you make her secure, Lord? Would you knit her even deeper into your love, into your family? In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love to just, before you go, I'd love to just like celebrate. I almost feel like you are that South African swimmer that just made it to the other side. And I'm serious, like I feel like the celebration of heaven over you. I wonder if we could stand and just give Jesus a thank offering. Can we do that? So special, man. Don't you love how patient Jesus is with us and how gentle and persevering he is in our love for us? Sure. Imagine if he wasn't as persistent and patient as he is. Probably none of us would be sitting here, hey? That's for sure. Why doesn't Karen come share? She's actually going to prophesy over our whole congregation. Is that right? That's what you planned, eh? You said something about prophecy, eh? Is that right?
Hi, everyone. Who people that don't know me, I'm Karen, or otherwise Kellyanne's mom. So recently, I've been away for an artist residency. I've been blessed to be being there for 3 weeks. A bit of context, a lot of the ladies that I was with aren't believers. But the people that were hosting us, the farm that we were on, they are believers. They love the Lord desperately. Apparently there are people that intercede for people visiting the farm. So there's a lot of prayer. And you feel it when you're on that property. You feel that this place is soaked in prayer. So there was a lot of freedom there. I mean, when we had our meals, the hosts did pray and had grace. And it was accepted by the people that weren't believers. And when people left, because we were all different times that we departed, there was a time that we gathered, and they said a blessing over them. And the lady, the hostess, definitely had the gifting of prophecy and, I would say, discernment, and definitely hospitality. So she would get a word for the Lord, and there was a freedom to share it with these ladies. So the one day, the one lady was leaving, and I felt the Lord give me a word for her. And I felt a bit hesitant because I had never really given a word to a lady, a person that was an unbeliever. And as people that know me, especially my com, I don't really come forward much. And there was this sort of internal battle. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, you need to share it. And so I was sharing it with the lady, and we were in a group. And as I was sharing the word, it was very simple. I don't know if I should share it, but yeah. It was a really simple word, but I still felt that I had to share this word. And as I was sharing it, they sort of smiled amongst themselves. I thought, okay. And the hostess, she said, oh, my word, that is exactly the word that I got for this lady that was leaving. So it was such a wonderful confirmation for me and encouragement that I am hearing the Lord. And also that I stepped out that I wasn't in fear, that I was obedient. And it was confirmation for the lady as well, that she was hearing from the Lord. And even if I hadn't have given the word, the unbelieving lady, the lady that's not a believer, should I say, she still would have got the word. God would have still made sure that she had the word. But this was so much sweeter in that, a lesson for me in obedience and whatever. And also just another thing that I just quickly want to add. It was an art residency, so you go there for the art, but it was so much more. It was a time of just witnessing this couple that loved the Lord so much. I mean, they didn't preach. I mean, there were times that they did share, but it was so organic. But the thing that I came away with was how they loved. They just loved, and every person that was there was seen and felt that they were loved and seen by the Lord. I just have one scripture, if I may. Okay, so this morning I got this 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I hope that encourages.
Ooh. It feels like the first time we've heard you on the mic here, and it feels like the Lord wants to fan into flame that gift, even for us, that as a body, that he would use you more and more to bless us through the gift that he's put in you. Amen. So well done, man. Well done for stepping out. Where is Christian? Christian's got a testimony. Yeah.
I'm a bit nervous. So my testimony is based on a finance testimony that happened this week. So after I got paid, I remember, I basically just paid for a lot of expenses and a lot of needs at home. And then I definitely just went broke. I didn't have anything. And fast forward, I just started using what I had left for transport to get to work. And then this whole week, I didn't have anything. So I was a bit anxious. I was like, yo, how am I going to get through this week in terms of transport, electricity at home, and food? And then, I just prayed and then just gave my anxiety up to the Lord and let him take control of everything that's going on. And then I got reminded of a scripture in Matthew that says, ask and it shall be given to you. Because most of the times we are scared to ask. And then, that's something I usually struggle with is asking. And then I just remembered asking my boss just to pay me my tips that I made throughout July. And asking that it's just something I need just to help me get through the week. And then he paid me for it on Friday, and then I was technically just sorted for the week, for Friday, and then for the next week, I'm sorted with money and finance for transport and petrol. And then on yesterday, when I was going to Vida E, I remember just when I, like off the parking and then leaving the parking lot, then I looked down the bottom of my car and I saw 200 note floating, and I didn't want to look like a thief at the end of the day. I just, you know, pick up and put in my pocket. So I tried to check if anyone dropped the money, and then I saw no one. I was like, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. I've taken the money. But yeah, the like moral of the testimony is, at the end of the day, the Lord is my provider, and He's the one I always trust in whenever I go through financial situation and difficulties. Yeah.
Actually, be keen to pray for us, just those who are trusting for financial breakthrough. But maybe one more encouraging testimony on the, maybe Kev, you can come up so long. He's also got a finance testimony. I think it's cool to pray for our own context off the back of hearing some cool stories of God's faithfulness. So why don't you come, Kev? How much money did you find?
No, I didn't find any money. Yeah. Yeah, so for me, I had so I freelance and I work in the tech industry, and my wife and I, we were kind of like, oh, last month we didn't actually make our quota of what we need for the month, and we needed to take from our savings, and we're like, we still don't have any work, like, what am I going to do? And really felt like, I really don't know, like, we're going to take from our savings, and we're going to take from the next month, before we know it, we'll be broke, like, it just won't work. And we just were speaking about it, we're like, what do we do? And we're like, we have to pray. Like, God has to come through. We don't have a choice. We can't take from our savings because we're going to, like, run out. And, yeah, it really felt like, just like, I really don't know. And we're just like, Lord, you have to come through. Like, this is what we need. And there's no way we're touching our savings. And then the next day, I also just prayed for myself and on my own. And I really felt the Lord give me the scripture to read. And It's Isaiah 41. It says, be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him righteousness to his service. He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown shaft with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am He. And I really felt so encouraged from that, like in that morning, really being like, I really still don't know, like, what you're going to do, Lord, how this is going to happen. But I do know that, like, you've done this. You've taken down kings. You've moved mountains. And I have to just trust in you. And I just felt this peace of rest in my heart. And lo and behold, that exact same day, I got like 3 emails from different clients that I've been working with. One being that they wanted me to start next week Monday for the rest of the month. They had this job that they needed me for. Another being that they wanted me to like actually like work on a project that I needed for the week, and they're going to obviously give me some more going forward. And another was just an interview on Tuesday, and it was just like, whoa, like, what happened here? I didn't, like, reach out to them. I just didn't know the answer. I really felt so weak and so, like, I don't know. And God really came through and was, like, yeah, just so faithful. You know?
Just wait here. Yeah? Wait here. I think there's actually quite a few people at the moment in our congregation that are trusting the Lord for financial provision. So I'd love to just take a bit of time now to just pray for us, if that's something that you'd really trusting the Lord for. I feel like those testimonies, as much as we're celebrating what God has done, is also what God still wants to do. So, maybe let's just close eyes. And if you are trusting for financial breakthrough, just open up your hands as a sign of surrender to the Lord. And I want to ask maybe Kev, maybe you could pray. I'll pray as well, but maybe it'd be cool with just your faith that the Lord stirred in you. Let's trust together.
Yeah, Father, thank you that we can come to you and ask you anything, Lord, that you say we should ask and we always receive. I pray for each and every single one of us here, Lord, that as we trust you, as we, a part of our sharing was that I didn't really have that much faith for it. As we were praying with my wife, we were just praying, and with the little bit of faith that I had, I just asked, Lord, like, would you shift my heart? And I pray for each and every single one of us that's trusting you, Lord. Would you just shift our hearts, that with that little bit of faith, shift our heart to believe that, yes, you can move mountains, you can take down kings, that you can take down rulers, that you are the one that's in control, Lord. That you are the one that's able to give us the clients that we need, give us the interviews that we need, to the job opportunities, that you are the one that does that. That there's no, it's not a degree, it's not a financial thing that we need to like do. It's actually you, Lord. That our trust is in you and you alone, and you are our provider. Would you do that right now, Lord, in our hearts, most importantly, Lord, that we can just be rest, we can just rest and know that, Lord, you are good, and that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, thank you for your faithfulness, God, that you've never failed us this far, and you won't fail us now, Lord, and God, we want to just ask that you bring peace in every anxious heart. That's just for those among us who are anxious about where they're going to find the money to pay their bills. Would you bring your peace, Lord, that surpasses our understanding, and guard our hearts, Lord, in peace as we trust in you. Would you give us peace? Would you give us confidence and faith and strength for the testing that we're going through? And Lord, we want to even just hold up our brothers and sisters. Lord, we together, we one family. And where they have lack, we trust with them. It's not just them on their own trusting you, but we trust together, Lord. Would you provide for the needs of our brothers and sisters? You say in your word, Lord, that as we seek you first, you will provide everything that we need. And we trust you, Lord, that you will provide each and every person what they need for this month, for this year, in Jesus' name. Lord, where there's need for jobs, we want to ask, would you supernaturally make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way? Would you give them favor, Lord, where there doesn't seem to be a way? Thank you that you're faithful, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kev. Maybe Phil. Philippa, why don't you come up? Where are you? Side.
Ready. Hi, I'm Phil. My husband George and we have two little girls, Zoe and Olivia. And part of my testimony is also our two dogs, Nacho and Gigi. Nacho is the best dog in the world. Gigi, she's getting there slowly. I don't know. So this journey started at the beginning of the year where we came home one evening after some training and George encountered a gentleman who was trying to access our property. And he had an altercation with him. And it upset me quite a lot. And on the Sunday, I was talking to a friend and she just very lovingly said to me, Phil, I think you need to learn to entrust your family to God. And I was like, no, but surely I do. But actually, I realized there was a little part of my foundation that God was just shaking and really wanted to cement. And I've been grappling with it for the last 9 months. And then fast forward 6 months, George hurt his back. And anyway, he had a back operation recently. And meeting the doctor before his op, the doctor says to us, he explains everything, and he's like, I can tell you that this is a very low-risk operation, but ultimately, I can't control the journey that God has you on. So I was like, okay. And he's like, I pray before, I pray after, like I entrust my operating room to God, but I can't tell you what he's going to do. So anyway... The op was successful, but George reacted really badly to the anesthetic and to the antibiotics that he received. So he was supposed to be in ICU for one day. He ended up being in ICU for two. So our kids didn't see him for 3 days, and that was quite a challenging time. But in that time, I realized, like, he has his own battles that he has to fight. And I couldn't fight or win it for him, but I could be there for him. I could pray. I could hold his hands. I could sit quietly and just help him with his practical needs, like food and water. But he had to dig deep, and he had to fight this battle. And so the battle was he had to stand up and walk, and he was really struggling with that. But he dug deep. He prayed in tongues for ages. I think the physio was like, I don't know what this guy is on about. It was loud, and he managed to walk, and he was moved to the ward. And so we were so excited. So I could go home, I could fetch the girls, we could come. He was so excited to see his kids. He really missed them. So I rushed home, and I'm telling the girls, quick, let's shower, let's eat, let's go. And my friend Debbie, not part of this congregation, she's like, I'll take the dogs for a walk because they were driving me crazy. And so she picks them up, and she takes them, and I start getting the kids ready. And then 10 minutes later, I get a phone call, very panicked Debbie behind the phone. She's like, Phil, she's bolted. She's run out of Duval Park. She's heading towards the 24-hour engine. I'm running after her. I was so surprised at how calm I was. And I realized in that moment, like, there's nothing I could do. I couldn't control the situation. All I could do is just pray and trust. And I was like, Deb, where's Nacho? She's like, no, he's sitting in the park. He's waiting. I'm like, go get Nacho, and I will meet you at the park. She's like, why are you so calm? You're freaking me out. It's like, I don't know, Debbie, but there's nothing we can do. Anyway, I tell my mom, and I drive out to go meet Debbie. And 10 minutes later, my mom, phones me, and she's like, she's home. I'm like, of course she is. So, and she's fine. So, anyway, put the kids in the car, go see George, wonderful reunion. I tell a teacher the next morning at school, and she's like, isn't it wonderful how God just showed you how he's going to protect your family? And the shallow coper that I can be was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I actually... Suddenly, in that moment, I was contemplating it the next day. Shame, poor Kina, always on the end of my meltdowns. I was like, it's so true. There is nothing like it is. It's incredible how kind and gentle and patient and fierce God's love is for us, actually. And all we can do is pray. And we have to trust and just be there for our family or friends or colleagues or even just people that we meet, because we can't change or walk anyone's walk for them. All we can do is walk ours and walk it in faith and trust in God, that he's sovereign over all things. And just knowing that he is good despite our struggles and our hardships. So just to encourage you, the scripture Isaiah 33, verse 2, O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the sure foundation for our times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So just to encourage us, that if there are people who are weighing heavy on your hearts, who you're carrying, entrust them to the Lord and pray for them. Pray, 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 pray. Pray and trust that they will hear his voice, that they will find the courage to dig deep, to find faith for themselves, and to win their battles, because he's sovereign.
There's actually quite a few people that have been in the wars recently with health. Like, remember when Dan Barnard came to preach the other Sunday when I was away? I phoned him beforehand and I said to him, look, just so you know, our eldership team is a bit fragile at the moment because Paul just came out of hospital and George is just going into hospital, and there was one or two other minor surgeries happening. There was a lot of surgeries happening in 1 week, and it was quite sobering. And we were earnestly warfaring and praying for each one. And so it's amazing. There's a lot to that testimony, actually, that Phil shared that she didn't even share. And so I'd love to just thank the Lord. All of those stories ended happily, but it didn't necessarily it wasn't inevitable that each story was going to end happily. So we wanted to say thank you, Lord, for our friends, even for George, Lord, even though he's not with us right now, we know that he is recovering well. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for your protection over his life, your protection over Paul's life. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would keep them. And just like Phil was saying, that we can entrust them to you and all the others in this family, Lord, that are in hectic battles for health. Lord, we want to say we trust you, and we want to commit each and every one of this family to you and ask, would you guard us, would you protect us, would you sustain us in our bodies by your mighty power, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll just have two more testimonies. It'll be Karine, and then Leah will go last. So maybe, Karine, where are you? You can come up, Salong. Ah, together.
Hey guys, hey again. God is working out fear of man, so hey. so that is what I'm going to talk about. God's been working out fear of man, and it started in Benoni. And so what that looked like when I came back was a lot of tough conversations with people, to just stand up for myself, and there was a lot of opposition from the enemy in terms of the result of relationships because of things like that, because of standing up for myself, and I asked God for comfort. I desperately asked God for comfort because it felt like the enemy's lies were becoming louder than what God had asked me to do. God sent so many of church family to comfort me and to reach out to me, and it even reminded me of what Mone spoke about when he spoke about he spoke about many things, but he spoke about the community aspect of making it, running our race and making it, and how it's important that we live in community with one another, and that we encourage each other. And God showed me that so beautifully when he brought so many people around me, and even today, us sharing testimonies was something you also emphasized last week, and how it builds us in faith. And I just want to encourage that, this family is a real family, and it's a family that genuinely cares and comforts one another, and also celebrates with each other. And that's something God showed me recently. And
let's just reach out our hands to Leah. Thank you, Lord, that she is a daughter in this house, and she's a sister and a daughter, and that you have added her here, and that she belongs to this family, and that you have added her lonely heart into a family, and you have knitted her so deeply into our hearts, Lord. And we want to say thank you that you love her, but also we love her, Lord, and she's so precious to us, and she is a life that you have saved, and you've saved, and you've saved, and you've saved, and you will continue to keep saving. And she's a testimony of your grace. She's a testimony of your goodness. She's a testimony of your faithfulness, that you have not given up on her, and you will see her through till the very end. And actually, it's your grace that sees her through, not her own striving. We pray for just your peace on her heart, Lord. I believe that you want her to share because you've got something for us as a family. Amen.
Hey, family. I'm very nervous. And my brain, but it's okay. So my testimony is not one of, yes, I've overcome and I'm here and I'm standing in victory in front of you guys. I'm standing in front of you guys because I've had one of the hardest years I've had since becoming a Christian. And I've struggled a lot with falling back into sin and believing lies, or just forgetting truths. Not believing lies, but more importantly, forgetting God's truth and the truths that he's spoken over me. And stop looking at me. So let me just... I have... I'm hitting a blank now. Sorry, guys. Just bear with me. Be with me. It's okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. When I was 15, my dad passed away. And then my mom became very emotionally unavailable. And there was a lot of things that I then had to, like, kind of be my own parent. And I'm now, this year, God's confronting that. And God's dealing with that. And he's healing that. And something, I've been going to counseling with Christine. She's really great. Highly recommend her. and something that the Lord's shown me, a pattern that I've had throughout my life, is that... things would go really bad, and I'll start becoming, like, there'll just be an emotional turmoil inside of me, and then I'll start spinning, and then I'll go into self-destruct mode. So then I will drink a lot or whatever, I'm talking about BC days now, and then just completely derail and unfold and then break. And then once I break, there's something inside of me that clicks. And then I'm like, oh, I know how to clean this. I can do this. So I've learned, there was a pattern that's taught me that, okay, I need to get to breaking point, because once I'm at breaking point, I can then clean this up and I can redeem myself and save myself. And I was actually reflecting on what I was going to share this morning, and God reminded me that when I was in matric, so I was 15 when my dad passed in matric, I was struggling so much. I was failing all my subjects. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know how to. I went from like a family with a dad, a brother, and a mom to moving from Joburg to here to just my mom and I, my mom being completely emotionally unavailable. So it was like really my life changed. And I'm 17 and I'm spinning and I'm failing and I'm like, what is going on? And I remember going to my mom. Well, God reminded me this morning that this is where it started. I remember going to my mom and looking at her and being like, Mom, I'm really struggling. I need help. And then her saying, well, I'll just drop out of school. And that to me was like I cannot rely on you. So I think there is an inner bound that needs to be broken. This all happened this morning, so that'll come. but what God's been teaching me, and through revealing this pattern to me where I spin out of control and break, is I can't, there's that belief that I can save myself, and I can't. I can't save myself. And what's been really frustrating for me is you guys. Church family has really, really frustrated me and sucked, but been great. But because you haven't allowed me to go to breaking point. So this is the first time that I've been saved and in family, that things are spinning out of control this year. And all I want to do is push myself, go into self-destruct, push myself to break. Because once I break, I know what to do. I know how to go get the broom, clean it up, pick myself up, and then go on. So all I've been wanting to do is push myself to breaking point so that I can break. And then I can pick myself up. But no one's allowed me to do that. Zanel keeps praying for me and like coming to fetch me. And then Zandi and them check in on me. And then they like encourage me and say, to go to Christine. And it's just been the whole time guys, can you just leave me alone, please, so I can do this thing that I know how it works and I know how to fix it. And I think what God's shown me in revealing, like, he's kind of explaining me to myself, which has been really cool. And also just when this came up and he explained this pattern to me, there was such a sense of, like, him saying to me, I can't let you believe that you can save yourself because you can't. And only I can and I really want to. So just come to me so I can save you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm coming. Slowly, but I'm coming. And church, what church has been for me as well is the bride has been very faithful, where I have shown up to tick a box so that people don't ask questions. Because if I don't show up to comment, I don't show up to church, people ask me why. And I don't want you to ask me why. I just want to. So I've been showing up to do the thing. But in my heart, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to be here. And the church has the bride hasn't let me go. The bride has been faithful to me where I, in my heart, have not been faithful. And I don't know. I couldn't do it without Jesus, but I couldn't do it without his bride. I couldn't do it without his people. And there is, thanks, friend. Okay. I am a crier, actually. And what I've also just realized is the dance. There's a dance between me and the bride of, like, my amazing housemate had a great conversation with me last night and just encouraged me that I am still showing up. So there is, like, a bit of a push and pull. So just also the reason I'm mentioning that is because there's an encouragement of not, okay, the bride just came after me and everything was great. It was, there is something in my heart that knows there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. And although I forgot it, I forgot that I do belong. Thank you. I do belong here. I belong here, guys. I belong here. Yes. although I forgot that, I know there's something cemented in my heart that knows there's nowhere else to go. So I do need to show up. And I do need to answer a message. And I do need to say, guys, I'm actually struggling. Like, I need help. And I am struggling. I'm still struggling in the things that I am. God's still busy teaching me things and working things out. But he's there, and he's faithful, and you guys are there, and you guys are faithful, and I appreciate that. And I think I'm done now.
I feel like the Lord actually wants to prophesy over Leah's life, and I'm not a prophet, so this is where you guys come in. So why don't we pray for her, and then just like as you're feeling words for, I feel like the Lord wants to speak calling and purpose over Leah's life. Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Lord. I'm not a prophet, but I actually did have a word for you. I just remembered now. Lord, I thank you that you have called Leah to be a warrior. You've called her to be a mighty woman of God. Whenever I see you in the spirit, I see you dressed for battle with a shield and a massive sword. And I see you as someone fighting for people's freedom spiritually, and even fighting for people's freedom from the demonic. I see a ministry of deliverance over your life, that you're going to warfare for people's freedom from slavery to Satan, and a sharp sense of discernment in the Lord, that you're going to see things, and you not only are going to, you do already see things in the Spirit over people's lives. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you've called Leah to be a mighty warrior woman. You've dressed her for battle, and Lord, I know that you're warfaring for her own life. But I want to pray now already, Lord, over the calling over her life, that you have called her to be a part of your army, and that she is very needed in this war, that she's needed in this army, that you have intentionally added her to this mighty host of men and women who have knitted arms together, and we're warfaring together in the faith for precious souls. Thank you, Jesus.
It's actually cool that Luke shared that word, because I got a picture of you dressed in this beautiful, flowy pink dress, just running through a garden with the Lord. And I felt like you had so much freedom in Him. And it felt like a gift that actually the Lord is going to use you to show people the freedom that they can find in Him as well. Lord, thank you so much for saving Leah. And thank you that she is a part of our family and she does belong here. And thank you for the work that you're doing in her every day. And Lord, I pray that she would continue to find a deeper sense of freedom in you in every area of her life, Lord. And thank you that you want to use her in that, God. And I pray that she would be a vessel for you, Lord, and that you'd use her to help other people find the freedom that's in you.
Leah, as you were speaking, felt the Lord say, remind my beloved that she's seen me. And I was reminded of that verse where it speaks of, I think it was Hagar, who's like, I've seen the one who sees me. And it feels like there's, as much as he's saying, like the bride has kept fighting for you. I felt like there's this picture of your eyes locked on the Lord, like as the bridegroom, as you're walking down an aisle, the aisle, and you've seen him. You like your eyes are locked. So yeah, thank you, Lord, that she's seen you, Lord, that she knows your eyes, she knows your gaze, and she's locked in. She's in love. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you love her. You've wooed her to this place. You keep pursuing her. That you keep loving her like the bridegroom that you are, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for how much you've won her heart, Lord. Yeah.
I just want to confirm the word that Luke had, because as soon as we started praying for you, I was reminded last night a couple of us watched The Prince of Egypt. And I'd never seen a visual representation of the Exodus, but as Luke was praying for you leading people out of the slavery to sin, almost at the same time I was seeing Moses standing there leading all of these people out of slavery. But the most poignant thing is that God opened the water. And so just to encourage you, he's going to give you a staff, and he's going to do what he wants to do with that staff. And he's going to give you guidance, but just to really, really feel just a confirmation on that thing of you are going to lead other people into freedom from slavery to sin. But the Lord is going to do it in his perfect time and in his power. And Jesus, thank you for that truth. Thank you that Leah need not do anything but lock her eyes on you. Yeah, we just add our faith to her journey, and we trust that you are going to bring her to full freedom so that she can be a beacon as well, that people can also see freedom when they look at her and know that they can follow and get free. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Liao, I saw a picture of this white, like pure white dog leaning against somebody's side of their leg, almost like so peaceful. And what a dog reminds me of is its loyalty. And I really felt that God has placed something of his loyalty in you, and you reflect that of him. I've never met somebody that's as loyal as you. And I also want to remind you of that word you shared. I think it was powerful position, where we shared it with the congregation of how you sat, how you felt like God would pick you up on his lap. And he would like untie the rope, the knot. I'm still encouraged by that. Like, I still remember that word. And I think God just, with that dog just lying so peacefully with his head actually almost on the person's lap, I felt like that was God's lap. And I just felt like God has you positioned there. That's where you are. And on his lap, with your head peacefully on his lap, that's where he wants you. And that's what you're going to like impart to the rest of us, because I still remember that word. It was so powerful. It was so directly God speaking through you to all of us. That was God. It wasn't you, it was God. And that's something, I just wanted to remind you of that. So, well, thank you that you speak to Leah. Yes. And thank you that you speak so like with so much grace about, and this is about her identity and her position in you, Lord. And thank you that you're coming to reestablish that and work in that. And that's going to be a testimony. That's going to be a work on this earth, is to remind other people of their position in Christ, Lord. Yeah, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you do that through Leah. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the Lord is even using you this morning, Leah, just through your vulnerability and through your honesty, that the Lord is even teaching us, and he's showing us what his family is like. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you for rescuing Leah and continuing to save her, and that to you are going to be faithful, and we are also going to be her family,
yes.
Until the day that she walks home into glory with you. Thank you for adding her, Lord. Thank you for the precious friend and sister that she is in this family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just in closing for us, I feel like that testimony that she shared there is also something the Lord wants us to close, like as we close this meeting. Feels like the Lord speaking to us as a congregation through her testimony. And I did feel like the Lord was going to use her testimony just to remind us of something as a family. I think it was Rachel that said, being vulnerable is scary. And it is scary because people aren't always, I don't know, they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? People sometimes hurt us. And so being vulnerable is scary. But it's also, our healing happens in family. Sometimes we think we're broken and we're going to come to Jesus and he's going to fix us. But the picture we have in our mind is like me alone with Jesus alone. And that my healing is going to happen alone with Jesus. But more often than not, that's not actually how God heals us. 9 times out of 10, he actually heals us in family. Through family, and we grow orphaned from God. That's the whole story of salvation, the prodigal son that leaves home. But we also grow orphaned from family. And so we become estranged from God, and we become estranged from people, his family, and we struggle to trust, and we struggle to be vulnerable. And I feel like the Lord this morning wants to remind us that our healing happens in this family. And so my encouragement to you is that, yes, it is scary to be vulnerable, but it's also where our freedom comes. It's also where our healing comes. And so I want to just close in prayer for all of us and give a word of encouragement to you. If you have been added to this family, this is a safe place, not because we're perfect, but because Jesus is the head of this family. He's the Father of this family, and he will protect your heart. And so, yes, it's scary to trust people, but even if people do hurt you, God will be sufficient. His grace will be sufficient to heal you. But you can't actually be healed without family. And so, Lord, we want to just, in closing, want to say thank you that your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. And I want to pray for each person here, Lord, that is scared of family, that you would heal. And I want to ask you, even if you feel like that's something the Lord is challenging you on, just open up your arms before the Lord, even right now, and just say, Lord, being vulnerable is scary for me. But this morning I acknowledge that I need you to heal me. And part of that process is that you're adding me to this family. And I'm willing to take a step of faith forward to say, God, I'm going to take a step, even despite my fears, to push into family, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, to share my life with this family. If that's you, just open up your hands as a sign of surrender to the Lord and say, God, would you come? Would you lead me? Would you give me the courage to trust and to open up my life and to share my life with you first and foremost, but also with this family? And I want to pray, Lord, for us as a congregation that we would grow so deeply in unity and in community and in trust and in vulnerability, that our love for one another would be a testimony to the world.
of how glorious and beautiful your kingdom is. You've not called us to be a sea of islands, but to be a family. And I want to just ask, I don't know everyone here, I want to also just give an opportunity. If you actually, never mind being added to family, you need to come back to God. You've grown estranged from God, your Father in heaven, and you actually are that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter that has gone your own way, and you've drifted from the Lord. And you feel this morning that as the testimonies have been shared, you've been reminded of your need for God the Father. If that is you, I want to encourage you that Jesus came so that we could be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what that looks like is putting your faith in Jesus. What that looks like is turning away from your rebellion, turning away from an independent spirit that says, I will go my own way, and coming back to the Father and putting your trust in Jesus and asking him for forgiveness and asking him for newness of life. And if that is you, I'd love to pray with you. It's the best gift you can be given. It's the gift of salvation. But it is a choice. It is something you have to respond to. God's offered his free gift of salvation, but we have to receive it by faith. And something we have to step into. It's a life we have to choose to live. So if that is you, I would love to pray for you. So just slip up your hand wherever you are right now. If you would like me to pray with you, just slip up your hand, not to embarrass you. Everyone's eyes are closed. Wonderful, I see your hand. Wonderful. It's the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. Wonderful. My wife Sandile is going to come and she's going to come draw alongside and pray with you. But we'll pray all together with you just as a sign of faith. Maybe let's pray out loud along with this young lady. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you love me and you gave your life as a sacrifice. Jesus, I trust in you. Would you wash me clean? Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you forgive me of my rebellion against God? Would you make me new? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you add me to your family? Would you write my name in your book of life? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Wow, we celebrate with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.